Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. The show tapes live some weeks on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Check my Twitter feed, ANNZAC, for more. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to ANNcast. I'm Zach Birchie. Jacob's here.
Hey there.
Man, how's it going, Jacob?
Pretty good. All right.
I ask you that like we don't live and work together.
Yeah. It's been a week, yes.
Yeah. So we're doing a live show. This is going to be probably a short one. We are right on the verge of Otakon, which is happening this weekend. We'll have coverage live on the site all weekend. Whatever news comes out of that show, we'll have it. We're not really doing much else in terms of coverage at Otakon this year. We got a few people out there handling news, and that's about it. Next year they go to Washington, D.C., and I think we're going to go to that one next year, I'm pretty sure, Jacob and I. So, yeah hopefully if you're going to Otakon next year, hopefully we'll get a chance to see you out there. We've got a lot of friends out there this year for sure. But it's been a week. We'll get to anime here in a second. We both watched Mob Psycho 100. Well, you just watch it regularly, week to week.
I
caught up. Was there anything you were watching lately in the summer that you wanted to bring up?
Well, Planetarian ended, which is...
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. So I watched the first episode and liked it, and then didn't watch any more.
Yeah, it is it's predictable yet pleasant. It goes exactly where you know it kind of has to go within the first couple minutes. It has a nice little message. It's a sweet, sad little story that's told in a very tight 5 episodes. I guess to say any more than that because it is so short and because it has like 2 characters and a very simple story.
And a couple of plot points.
Yeah, and so I recommend it. I think it's really different from it's not Jun Maeda like. It's Moe sadness, but it's Moe sadness and more of like an older. I don't know. It's from an older idea about what Moe was and sadness was, and it's a nice little story. Like it's a nice, pleasant little sad story. So yeah, I would definitely say check it out.
You didn't play through the kinetic novel.
No, but from what I have heard, it covers all the bases, and it is a very short story. Like, you know, there's no branching paths or anything. It's just a...
You pick one, I guess. Pick your medium.
Yeah, exactly.
Your format.
There's not really, you know, right. I'm not missing anything.
So I guess we'll do... Yeah, okay. So let's talk about Mob Psycho 100. So I think the general consensus seems to be that summer is a little weak this year. Like, it's not great.
Yeah, it's all right. There's a lot
of whatever, shrug, right?
Right. There's a lot of selection. I guess that's the plus side, but...
A wide array of shruggy things
wide array
to watch.
Of yeah.
Right. Can you get on that mic? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right on it.
Yeah, no, I just... sorry about that. It's a shotgun mic, so you gotta be right on it. So I finally, Mob Psycho 100 was kind of supposed to be like a bright spot, like, you know, same studio as One Punch Man, same author as One Punch Man.
I heard a lot of, coming into it. I did. But it was supposed to be at least a spectacle, and it is that. But I think apart from being a big Sakuga spectacle and a big, playground for animators, I heard a lot of, coming into it, and I don't think that's changed much. 5 episodes in, like it's okay, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, so the story is one that the author did. He made this before he made One Punch Man.
Afterward,
uh-huh. and it's already over, right?
No, they're running concurrently, and I think. I don't remember if One Punch Man is over, or I don't think it is. I think they're just both going at the same time.
One Punch Man is not over.
Yeah, they're just both going at the same time.
Right, okay. So, this is widely considered to be the lesser story. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, this is not as big a hit. It's, I mean, you're sort of going, eh, but I don't understand how perception could lead me to any other conclusion.
No, well, I can't. I don't have hard facts, I guess you could say, is the only reason I'm like, well, I don't want to make any assumptions. But, I mean, certainly it's not as well known, either the manga or now the anime. And it's not as accessible. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of quality. It's just like One Punch Man is this sort of juggernaut of extreme accessibility, immediate, like, oh, this is really easy to watch and enjoy. It doesn't really need any introduction or any setup. Like, it's kind of a mainstream hit. It's doing really well on Toonami right now. Like, they've started making advertisements for each individual episode, which they haven't done in a long time. And if you look at the ratings, it's like, oh, yeah, this is doing really well for them. So that's cool. So Mob Psycho 100 is not that, but few things are that. So... Yeah, basically.
I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of trying to get my head around the general perception of these two things. Mm-hmm. Because in my head, one is definitely considered to be, well, there's also that. Mm-hmm. At least that's kind of what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say so.
So, I because that's the feeling I walked away from it with, mm-hmm. was that, okay, I had a very hard time connecting with Mob Psycho 100 mm-hmm. for at the first four episodes.
Right. Well, what I specifically told you, you're like, well, what should I catch up on? Is there anything interesting? I said, well, Mob Psycho 100, as of episode 5, you should catch up on it because it finally got to the point. Like, before that, I'm not sure I would say, like, oh, you should watch this, because I didn't really know where it was going. And, yeah, like, by the fifth episode, it's like, oh, I see what this is doing, but it takes that long, and you know, is it worth it? I don't know. I just don't really know where it's ultimately going. It's just, it got to the, like, oh, I see part that One Punch Man got to inside of one episode, so I don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so for those first four episodes, admittedly, I was really just kind of sitting there going, like, alright, like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the Sakuga moments. I had a hard time connecting with the main character, and like, the whole thing is very manic. Like, it's really manic. Mm. Everybody's manic all the time, and they go from blank face to, wah, like, really quickly, and that's, like, every joke. And, like, it is just a lot of gags. And it feels like kind of like half an idea. Kind of feels like half an idea.
Yeah, weirdly, One Punch Man, for how much more destruction there is in it, One Punch Man is more deadpan and more restrained, because...
Well, yeah, okay, I get you. One Punch Man also, it was, like, immediately obvious, like, what is this about?
Exactly.
Who is this about? What is it a metaphor for? Mm-hmm. Like...
Well, you just mentioned the manicness, and I One Punch Man is not that manic, you're right. Like, no. Mob Psycho is way more like, look at me, look at me, look at me, and it's... Despite having less of a hook. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah, so the thing with Mob Psycho, so everyone was talking about episode 5, which was admittedly the best one so far, obviously. It was just this week, mm-hmm. in which he is introduced to a rival psychic guy, who is basically set up to be everything that the main character is not.
Right. He's like, I'm going to become a superhero / villain with my awesome psychic powers, right. Whereas Mob...
Right.
You know, the joke is a little similar to Saitama, and that he's like, "Oh, I don't want to use these. I just want to be a normal person."
So they keep pushing the line that, like, I'm the main character of this story. The world, everyone in the world is a supporting cast member in my story, and that's the objective view of the world, is that I am the main character, mm-hmm. and everyone agrees on this or whatever. So they sort of set this up as a philosophical counterpoint to the main character. And at that point, it needed to be clear to me what the psycho powers are a metaphor for.
Right.
Are they a metaphor for natural-born talent? Because that's an unrelatable thing where I have to keep this talent of mine controlled, or no one must know who, like, my real skill, my real ability. It does the whole, like, don't make me show you my real emotions, like 16-year-old Chunibyo thing, where you don't want to see me when I'm really mad, because then it's dark and violent. Like, that's really, like, a teenager-y thing, which is fine. It's Mob Psycho 100 for teenagers, right? That's totally fine, but, like, in order for this to mean anything to me, it has to be more than just psychic. Like, is it literally just, like, it? Clearly not. Mm-hmm. Clearly it's not. Clearly it's heading for something thematic.
Right, and I feel like Oni is... I mean, if it took him 5 episodes to get to the point where he's like, this is about somebody who's trying to avoid thinking about the void, thinking about how much they don't, they're not happy with themselves and their place in the world, and thinking maybe there is no place in the world for me. Like, it took 5 episodes to get to that point. Like, literally, it's a bunch of dumb gags and a bunch of leading up to the idea that maybe this kid's kind of nihilistic and is beginning to be afraid of the possibility that he's not made it yet, and will he ever make it, and does anybody ever make it? Like, they just now started addressing that, and it's like, oh, well, okay, so you're not even done. Like, I assume you're not even done really addressing what this is all supposed to mean. But it's not like a slow burn, like a really well-constructed philosophical show where you're aware of this from the beginning. Mob Psycho, its jokes aren't really tied into that. There is a sharp divorce from when it wants to be serious and when it wants to make jokes, and the jokes don't really have anything to do with the serious stuff. It's just sort of either playing around and being fun Sakuga, or, okay, here's what the show is about, I guess, if I have to get to it eventually. And, yeah, that's not as accessible, not even remotely as accessible as One Punch Man, which got to the jokes and the philosophy just all in one episode. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, and the characters, like, admittedly, like, I don't find them all that interesting. If it were more interesting, like, on its own, without this, like, without the Sakuga or whatever, maybe it would be different. But for the most part, I'm just like, okay, what's your point? Mm-hmm. Like, this is only 12 episodes or whatever, presumably. And it took us 5 to kind of get to some thematic something. Mm-hmm. And now that we know what that is, there's a giant piece missing. So I'm not going to keep watching Mob Psycho 100. I'm going to wait and see what people say about the ending of it.
Right.
And then and do that, because it's too frustrating to watch not knowing. Like, I should have known by now what this is all leading up to in some cases. Like, what is this a metaphor for? Because if that's what you're holding on to until the end, that's just a frustrating way to tell a story.
It is. Like, and I haven't seen a lot of stuff.
Excuse me.
I haven't seen a lot of stuff bury the lead as hard as Mom said.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't. Usually, like, if a show is going to be try to be about something, they bring it up earlier. And if it's not, then they commit to, like, character development or gags that are more direct instead of pussyfooting, which feels like Mob Psycho pussyfoots. And it seems like Mob Psycho's number one goal is to be a playground for animators. It seems like that's the number one thing they want to do with it. And that's fine, but that does not in and of itself make a show. If your plot and your ideas and your jokes, like, the humor's not that funny. And the humor in One Punch Man is way funnier, I think, because they cherry-picked the jokes and tightened the pacing up a lot. The pacing of Mob Psycho is way slower. So, yeah, it's just like, this is kind of like One Punch Man, but less interesting is the way I would sum it up.
It's a wait and see for me, and unfortunately, like, I don't know, the milieu of Mob Psycho just, it didn't pull me in. It didn't grab me. And so, oh well. Oh well. You'll keep watching it. You'll tell me what's up.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you know what's happening.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat mentions that One Punch Man speaks to them more because of the age of the protagonist.
That makes it unique.
Absolutely true. And I will not, like, I absolutely would not fault Mob Psycho 100 for, like, obviously aimed more at high schoolers. I'm very much not a high schooler. Mm-hmm. Just my, you know, this is my subjective take on these things. I'm not claiming one's better than the other or whatever, but I could definitely relate to One Punch Man a lot more.
Yeah, like, how many anime are about middle schoolers and high schoolers? Well, a million. How many anime are about, like, people that are 25, 26 and going, shit, my life's going nowhere? Not many, you know.
Not that many.
Not many.
Yeah. So it felt novel anyway. Okay, so before we go to Twitter, we were going to talk a little bit about a little film that came out.
A little indie film.
A little independent film that opened a limited release last weekend called Suicide Squad, which we saw last Thursday.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Suicide Squad. We talked a little bit about the horrible nightmare that was Batman versus Superman.
We did.
Earlier this year. And, you know, having now seen the 3-hour cut of Batman versus Superman, which in spite of what people tell you, does not improve the film. It just means there's more of it now.
Dios mío. Is it part of the thing that they added in, like, literally people watching a soccer game or news footage and shit like that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's, like they let literally, like, edited in, like, there's several minutes of ESPN now in the film, Batman vs. Superman.
That was a big improvement, Zack Snyder, thank you.
So we saw Suicide Squad. You know, I was so curious about this thing because it had a good premise, and the trailers were all hilarious, edgelord, like, now it's like a parody of what WB is doing with the DC movies. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that movie is, well, what did you think of it?
It's a Frankenstein monster is what that movie is.
Yeah. You didn't hate it like you hated Batman vs. Superman, at least not in the same way.
No, but there's also more to discuss with Batman vs. Superman. Suicide Squad is a shambling, literally, the cut of the movie that was released to theaters was one of three that were, like, commissioned by Warner Brothers to try and save the movie, they thought, because it was too dark. They were, and so it was it was some trailer cutting company that literally edited the cut of the film that you saw in theaters, and that's why it kind of feels like a commercial, and literally, like, every 5 minutes, there is a montage set to a pop song. Creative montage set to a pop song.
Set to a really worn-out, obvious pop song.
Yeah, like, and the most painful one, and there's a lot of them, some of them work better than others, but none of them really add anything. But the most painful one is the one that really stands out as, like, oh, you shot this meaning for this. All of this footage is telling me serious business, badasses gearing up footage. But the song is Slim Shady, and they're trying to juxtapose it as if that makes it funny. It's like, see these wacky guys suiting up. Like, this is more like Deadpool, right? And it's like, no, you can't just put Slim Shady on footage that was obviously meant to be, like, badass edgelord stuff and automatically be fun. And the rest of it is just this, like, awkward, badly edited mess that just feels like this hollow commercial thing that didn't work.
Well, specifically, they went back and shot what felt like about 40, 45 minutes worth of Deadpool-esque material. Yeah. Attempting to be Deadpool-esque, I would say.
Most of it
I enjoyed Margot Deadpool.
Robbins.
Like, I liked Deadpool. I liked that movie plenty. It was fun and funny. This was an attempt at that, and what is sort of awkwardly bolted onto the side. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring up Suicide Squad is I feel like it is one of the few movies you can point to where even people who aren't giant weirdos about film, who have spent all this time, like, watching all these movies and everything,
right,
I feel like they will you'll be able to point to it as, okay, here's why editing matters. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you get this tonal whiplash nightmare like Suicide Squad, where in one frame they're doing a CG zoom around somebody with text smashing on the screen with jokes, like floating text with jokes, like a comedy. Uh-huh. The next scene is a downbeat, downer, grim and gritty, complete tonal whiplash from the scene that was in before it. They'll have scenes where it's really obvious that the one scene was shot during regular filming, and then one scene was shot afterward in pickups. Because, like, you'd have Harley Quinn standing with, like, a bunch of guys and, like, half of the Suicide Squad. And then I hate referring to it that way. Anyway, they're standing there, and then they needed to cut a joke in. So it'll cut to Harley Quinn. Suddenly she's alone, completely alone, surrounded by no one, delivers a bad joke.
Uh-huh.
And then it cuts back to a crowd shot where she's in it. So it was very clear, like if anyone saw the reboot of Fantastic Four, similarly edited in reshoots, wherein one of the characters is suddenly wearing a terrible blonde wig, and they're standing in front of a green screen instead of a set.
Right.
Like, they're standing in front of continuity photos of the set. That's what they're standing in front of in Fantastic Four. That's how bad those reshoots were. Now that I say that out loud, Suicide Squad never quite got to those levels, but the edited in jokes you will be able to tell every single time one is clumsily dropped into a scene, and I feel like a lot of people would just notice that because it's such a speed bump.
Well,
you know,
our audience that we were watching it would notice because these guys were stoked for the movie. Like, there were people wearing, like, I didn't see, like, costumes, but people wearing, like, themed shirts who were really excited. It was a full house. And I heard this from other people who went to other screenings, too. There was, like, some laughter, but most of it was it, like there were like three people that laughed at anything in the theater we were in at any point ever laughed. And one person was really into it. The other two, there was some like fake laughter, but it was like, I assume those people weren't all film nerds or whatever. They weren't like, oh, this film is badly constructed. It wasn't like that at all. It was just like, you could feel something was wrong. People would deliver a joke and it was like, this wasn't originally planned for this. And the way it's edited in, like, the timing is all screwed up because it wasn't originally supposed to go in there. And there's, like, somebody will explain something at length for 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes later, somebody will explain the same thing in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this doesn't happen in movies. Usually when somebody goes in, things are not, like, explained the same way twice. It's just a mess.
Yeah, they introduce the villain in two different sequences twice. They introduce the same material. One version of that scene has slightly different information near the end of it, but it's the same scene twice.
Yeah.
It's so awkward.
They treat the second appearance of that villain as if it's a reveal.
Yes.
The way that it's shot.
They treat it as a reveal. Yeah. And you're like, we just saw that.
We did see that already. I know that you shot that thinking that was the first scene, but apparently they went back and then, you know. And, yeah, the whole thing is just like, oh, you know. What a mess.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, and like you can tell what was picked up and put elsewhere and kind of airlifted out of later in the film and put later. It's just wow.
Jared Leto's Joker is wow. What, so he's barely in the movie, so all that controversy and all that, like him sending used condoms to actors.
They cut a lot of him out, which is weird to me that you would cut the Joker out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
People paid money largely because the Joker is in a movie.
Right.
I would say.
He is barely in the final cut, presumably because his scenes have very little to do with the main plot. Like, he was like a whole second plot devoted to the Joker and Harley's backstory and stuff like that that they cut chunks out of. And what does exist is quite terrible. He's doing a really bad, like, sort of motivationless Heath Ledger impersonation.
Yeah, it's just a Heath Ledger voice.
Yeah, but when Heath Ledger did something, you knew why he was acting crazy at any given time. Like, it seemed motivated by his feelings. You could tell when Heath Ledger's Joker was actually angry, and when he was just playing something up for a joke, or when he was, you know, like, he was crazy, but it felt motivated by sincere emotion. Jared Leto's Joker is just him doing a crazy voice and acting like, this is how a crazy person acts, right? Like, it doesn't seem motivated by any internally consistent anything. And it doesn't help that the script is bad. When the script is bad, you can't really have consistent character motivation because your character's actions don't make sense, and a lot of the time it doesn't. So, yeah, it's weird and bad, and Suicide Squad is a hot mess. So.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, the very, like, okay, spoiler. There's a scene in that movie where the Joker is breaking into a place. At this point, you are, supposed to think that the Joker is dead. He's clearly not, though.
Of course not.
Anyway, so a bunch of dudes break into a building, and they show them from the back as though, whoa, who are these people?
Yeah.
One of them is the Joker in a police costume.
It's a squad.
The police in like a squad, in like a SWAT squad guy.
SWAT uniform.
Yeah, SWAT uniform. It says in giant letters on the suit, Joker.
Yep.
They show this a couple of different shots. And then they have a long reveal shot
where he takes off,
where he pulls off the helmet and he's like, "It's me, the Joker." And you're like, "We fucking know that. We know it was you. Joker is in giant letters. Why did you shoot this way?
Yeah.
Why did you shoot that like a reveal?" And it's like, ah,
you haven't. You know, it's just it's a very hastily cobbled together. Like, this went through hell, and you can tell.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so, but the other thing I wanted to say was, I didn't have a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
I was entertained, even though the movie was fucking awful, and I kept, like, leaning over and saying, that's fucking awful.
Uh-huh.
I was entertained. Uh-huh. I didn't hate Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I keep kind of thinking back to it. Like, oh, yeah, that movie.
I mean, I'm apathetic towards it. It wasn't like Batman vs. Superman, where it was, like, pissing on my face and telling me it was raining. Like, instead of somebody, like, peeing in your Cheerios, it was, like, you you started eating a bowl of Alphabits, and you're like, oh, this is the Kroger brand. Ew, I'm not getting this again. You're just apathetic toward it. It's like, oh,
do you know what's, you know
whatever.
What? Here's, I got it. Here's the metaphor for going to see Suicide Squad.
Okay.
If you're like 23 and you go into hot, 23 to 25, just let's say 35, and you go into a Hot Topic to laugh at the goth stuff, going to see Suicide Squad is exactly like that. It is exactly as fun
right.
as walking into a Hot Topic. So do you get any pleasure from walking into a Hot Topic and going, haha, they have Adventure Time corsets? Then you will probably, like me, have fun inside of Suicide Squad.
Right, but it's an ironic enjoyment.
Yeah, it's not. Of course it is.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like it was there was enough flavor in it to get
You're absolutely right. I'm just saying, for me, after the fact, that's how I feel about it.
Right.
That's what I've settled on.
It makes sense. I feel like it was so empty. It was so devoid.
Oh, yeah. That bowl of cereal advertisement was, like, perfect. Like, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's so hollow and soulless that I feel like I couldn't get much ironic enjoyment out of it, so.
Well, anyway, we should take some of these Twitter questions. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, this is a personal question from Alejandro Hajar. Do you have any tips for eating healthy? I do. Have some tips for eating healthy.
Don't eat like me.
Don't eat like Jacob, who eats corn dogs for lunch every day.
I don't eat every day.
On the days where I get lunch out, you don't eat corn dogs.
I would say every other day.
Corn dogs.
They have a lot of sodium.
Jacob's built like an Olympiad, so it's fucking unfair.
I'm not built like
If you worked out, you would look like an Olympiad.
I don't work out, so I'm just
an Olympiad. An Olympic athlete.
Well,
Olympiad is like the event. The games of the 35th Olympiad.
Oh, that's what they call it. You're right. Well, no, yeah, I don't work out, so I don't look like anything, but I'm like lithe and lanky.
Yeah, corn dogs. Fucking nothing but...
Sorry.
Here I am in the gym every day. Anyway, the thing with eating healthy is you absolutely have to get, like, you have to change your relationship with carbohydrates, and that's an annoying thing that everyone fucking says, but you have to. They have to become a sometimes food. Then you will lose weight and keep it off for a very long time. They just have to become a sometimes food. It doesn't mean you're never going to eat bread again, but you have to go a long time without eating carbs, and then when you do, you have to slowly reintroduce them back in to your diet. That's pretty much it. I mean, like, you can't eat garbage and, like, refined sugar, and you need to cut back on, like, diet soda. But sugar and carbohydrates... But, I mean, carbohydrates break down in your body like sugar. So, you know, it's all kind of the same thing. So, like, you know, my diet is a couple eggs for breakfast, salad for lunch, water protein, and some veggies for dinner. And there's carbs sprinkled in there somewhere. And I have lost 85 pounds doing that.
Woo!
Yeah. So it works. That works. I can tell you it works. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we can move on. Mm-hmm. Branko Berkson asks, do you think the focus of Mob Psycho 100's narrative takes longer to get started compared to One Punch Man? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The answer to your question is yes.
Yes. Zinky asks, Sweetness and Lightning ranks highly on the seasonal chart. It's appealing, but is it not becoming formulaic now? So I'm not watching Sweetness and Lightning. You are. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this?
No, I think it's definitely going somewhere. It's not any more formulaic. Like, it's a food show technically, like, barely. But you think a food show, it's going to be formulaic to some extent. Like, Food Wars, hella formulaic. A lot of the stuff is really formulaic. But, I mean, so they make a meal together in every episode, so there's that. But it's definitely going somewhere. I don't think it's just... I don't know. To me, the show hasn't repeated ground at all. It's slowly bringing these characters closer together in sort of like a makeshift family relationship, and it approaches some aspect of that in a new way every time. So I don't think it's repetitious, but and I like that the food that they make is like really boring normal food. It's not like the master chefs. It's like a single dad who's not really a good cook and his 5-year-old daughter learning to make gyoza, which is actually pretty complicated as it turns out. So, you know, like, yeah, I don't think it's repetitive, but that's just me.
That's one of those that I will probably watch a few of for this podcast coming up here. Let's see. Danger High asks, what is it for you guys personally that works the most about Mob Psycho 100? Source material, the production, or both? And for me, I would say, like, definitely the production. now that it's getting into the thematic stuff, like, yeah, I guess it's wait and see, like I said. But
yeah, you just have to see what it's...
Yeah, I gotta wait, because the stuff I actually care about, that, you know, they're not really into it yet. Somebody in the chat mentioned that based on being... this person is familiar with the manga and says that probably won't get to the real meat of the story until near the end of the anime. So I guess that's just what we can expect. At least now, it's be like, okay, I know what to expect from this, at least.
Right.
Oh.
Which is an interesting choice, because I know they cut a lot of stuff for One Punch Man to turn it into an anime. I'm thinking maybe Mob Psycho, like... Could you have cut some of this, like, to get to the point quicker? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Really, Ellie asks, what sport most needs an anime treatment that hasn't gotten one yet? I'm going to say gymnastics, because the Olympiad is on right now.
Right. Yeah, anything that people can make interesting. Maybe, like, horse racing or something. I don't know. I like animals, so put animals
in. Isn't there the ultimate horse racing... Isn't it racing bunny lesbians or something?
Oh, that. I think it's a game. I don't think it's
Was
a
that a
show.
Game? Was that not a show?
No.
Oh, I was hoping that was going
to
be a show.
I'm heartbroken. I wanted to see horse lesbian racing girls.
Game? Man, that's no fun. Maybe there will be an anime.
Yeah. I was going to say, there is a figure skating show coming out this fall from Sayo Yamamoto, so yay.
Cool. Evan3R asks, why do you think there's such a disparity between Japanese CG and video games versus anime for models, frames per second? Why is it so different? Well, one of those is a video game with a huge budget, and the other is an anime that gets made week to week on the seat of your pants with no resources, really. So there's a huge resources and staff difference between those two things, and time is the biggest factor of all. They've been working, you know, they work on, you know, if you think that you could produce Square Enix style CG week to week, nope. No, you can't. Uh-huh. Nope, you cannot.
They're trying real hard with Tales of Systeria, but it's not. Tales of Systeria looks really good, but it's a shame the story is just somebody's D&D campaign. But you know, they're trying really hard. Like, UFO Table is really busting their asses making that show look good, so there's that. Yeah. I really wish it had a good story, because it's like, this looks amazing, and it's like, JRPG plot basics with no flavor. Fuck. All right.
Can you believe we're stuck in the game?
This is more like
I'm just the
kingdom or whatever.
Right. No, I understand. It's not. Yeah. Solitaire asks, how are you folks feeling about the silent voice Koi no Katachi movie coming out? I am really excited for that. I have heard nothing but great things about the manga. The promotional images look really, really good. It's about bullying, right? It's supposed to be really tight. One, like an Eisner.
Yeah, it's a story about bullying. That's all I know.
Yeah,
it's a short manga.
Right, I haven't read it, so I'm super stoked. I'm like excited about that movie. I'm just gonna put it up on a pedestal. It's like looking forward to that one.
Right. Yeah.
Looks good. All right, Scotty415 asks, thoughts on recent Steven Universe episodes. You're behind, right? You have not caught up.
I'm behind. My enthusiasm withered like a small fly. It's not dead. It's just, it's withered a little bit, I guess, for that show.
This is a downer podcast.
I don't mean for it to be a downer.
You're just down on everything this week. I'm not saying it's your fault.
You're right. I really like Sweetness and Lightning and Danganronpa, and I like things.
I know you like things.
I enjoy things.
I know you like things.
Yeah, I don't mean to be such a downer.
Oh, it's not. No, we're both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Steven Universe has lost me a bit.
I mean, you were the person who was kind of into it. I sort of watched it when it was on.
Yeah, I was really into it.
And
the first two seasons, and then something happened.
Yeah.
So changed a bit.
So, to me, it's literally just like, well, it's not as funny as it used to be.
Yeah, and I should clarify, literally the last... So this is how far behind I am. The last episode I saw was the... Because I'm like 5 or 6 episodes behind, I think. But the last one I saw was the one where Peridot has her self-actualization sort of thing. They go to the carnival and Peridot is too short to ride anything and she can't do anything. She's mad at herself because she can't do anything. Which was fine. That episode was totally fine. It wasn't exciting or anything, but it was okay. The one that made me lose faith a little bit, that made me lose enthusiasm in the show, was the one that immediately preceded that, which was Mr. Greg or something. They go on vacation to the city, the big city, Greg, Pearl, and Steven. And I did not like that episode.
The fandom, like, loved that one, right?
I think there was a division. The fandom loved the song that Pearl sings, which I agree would have been okay in a different context. I don't know that I would have loved it. I think it would have been perfectly fine, a nice little moving song in a different context. In the episode as a whole, it did not work for me at all. So,
well, anyway, I think that's enough complaining.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, anyway.
That's one of those shows where it's like, I root for Steven Universe. I root for it to succeed. Right. I root for their ratings. I want that show to be a big success. I want those people to work on it forever. The people who work on it are wonderful people. It's brought me lots of joy and laughter. It's just right now, I guess.
Right. Now, I will still always go back to most of the, like, almost every episode from the first and second season, which is remarkable. Like, that, the reason I love that show so much is the quality was so consistent for, like, two seasons straight. And I can still go back to those and still enjoy it. I just, the newer ones, not as much.
Anyway, let's get off the subject. Remind Half Full asks, here's a positive question. Have you read any of the Fruits Basket manga re-releases? Since I know Jake really likes it, who are your favorite characters?
Man, I can't even... So, I like Fruits Basket so much that I like basically every character on some level. Like, all of them. Even like, the new student council members, like, Kimi and Naohito, like, very mild characters. Like, as an author, like, she just gives so much empathy and so much character to every single person in the story. Like, even the, like, you know how in a lot of shoujo manga there's a bully girl squad? Like, there's the straw bullies who are like, there to be the mean girls. And, like, she humanizes those characters, which is just does not happen, generally speaking. And so I love all of the characters in Fruit Basket. But I guess my favorites are the really, really screwed up ones. The ones that where they really kind of make you question how much you're sympathizing with them. Like Shigure and Akito, and so those two. And I also have a soft spot for I guess for ones that everybody doesn't always, because everybody loves Momiji and Haru, and like people love those characters. I guess a character I think is woefully underappreciated is Kurino, who is not in the anime, but I feel like his story and his cautionary tale, it's kind of like the dark side of what being a person like Toru, because they can't actually punish Toru for being Toru, because that would be too much. So there, it's like the dark side of what being an endlessly self-sacrificial person like Toru can do to you, I think is really powerful. So yeah, those are my Fruits Basket feelings. But yeah, I think Kurino is woefully underappreciated, but I like all of those characters like a lot.
Right? Yeah, Fruits Basket. I want to get those reissues and read it, although I don't need to because you have the entire run.
Right, I have all the Tokyopops.
And the others asks, we know how you feel about Lucky Star. No, you don't. I've never given an opinion on Lucky Star.
No. I don't think I've given...
People just assume I hate it for some reason, I guess, but yeah. I've only seen one episode of it. It didn't make me laugh. Mm-hmm. I don't have any feelings on it otherwise. Period.
I saw the first four, and I was like, well, this sucks.
See, that's what happens when you assume.
Yeah.
You get my opinion on Lucky Star wrong.
I think
as the saying goes.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Current thoughts on Haruhi Suzumiya. Are you going to get the Blu-ray? More than likely, the Blu-ray will be sent to the office here, so I'm curious to take a look at it. I really want to have that movie. I really like that movie. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I like the first season and the movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lot of people will stand behind Endless Eight.
Yeah.
No.
It's a mild like. It's not a strong like, I love it. I have a lot of respect for that show. The movie is just gorgeous.
Yeah, no. In retrospect, when we revisited it for the first
series, episode discussion.
I was like, oh, I like this movie, and that's kind of it. So my stance is like,
you got to watch the show to get to the movie, though. So
you do, but I,
as an overall experience, anime fans should partake.
Yeah,
and it's nice that it's going to be available.
Right, definitely, because it's been in limbo. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that show's going to be available again, especially that movie. Because if you go on, like, Amazon or whatever and try and buy the old Bandai Visual Blu-ray, like, fuck. Yeah, it's horrible. All right. Xenochrist asks, what a name. Have you guys been watching Re Life? I have not. Have you?
I think I finished it like a week ago, like really recently, because I was just had it on the background. It's a very unassuming show, but it's nice. I think it's not creepy. I should encourage you to, if you were interested in the premise of Real Life, but you were like, is this going to get creepy? You should watch it because it is not even a little bit creepy, which is good. So it's very chill and thoughtful and pleasant. It's unassuming, it's low stakes, but it's pleasant. It's a good show, and despite the premise, it is not creepy. It doesn't go there. So,
have you watched the High School Life of a Fudanshi?
It upset me and it was bad. So
okay.
I shouldn't be more negative. So the short version is the Fudanshi show super homophobic. So no,
you know,
super homophobic.
It's been a little bit of a long week.
I complimented Real Life. Real Life is good. I feel like I'm tallying like good things.
I said a good thing about this.
Yes. Watch Real Life, don't watch Fudanshi.
Master 20,000 asks, does the upcoming Drifters anime have a chance of being a big hit? Sure.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that's about.
Isn't it just the Helsing prequel?
Drifters, it's Kota Hirano. Is that a Helsing prequel?
I thought.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think
I'll find out. That manga's been coming out for a while,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I thought it was. It's Helsing Universe at the very least, so I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Why not? I mean, hopefully the animation's all right. Kota Hirano's shit is hard to animate.
No kidding. Man, that took up how long to finish that OVA series, and it just struggled to the finish line because it's so, like, the ambition, yeah, it's really, really difficult.
Yeah, someone in the chat asks, how could Zach not know something about Helsing? Because after reading the end of Helsing, my interest in it dropped precipitously, and I didn't care what Drifters was about after that. Not that I... You know, I had a real huge problem with the end of Helsing. Well, it wasn't very good. Man, I'm trying to, like...
I will
watch Drifters.
I'll be positive on this. Apart from the OVA sort of falling apart a little bit, I appreciate that Helsing, regardless of it dropping the bomb plot and character-wise a little bit, which that wasn't the main appeal of Helsing. The main appeal of Helsing was the aesthetic and the concepts. It didn't drop the ball on those, like, up until the end. Like, it stayed strong on those levels, so...
The first six episodes of Helsing Ultimate are fucking great.
Yeah.
I love them.
Uh-huh.
Love them. The first 6-7 volumes of Helsing manga are fucking great. And I love them. From the bottom of my heart, I love them.
I adore...
After that, I feel like it kind of goes off the cliff, and Drifters didn't really seem all that interesting to me, so that's why.
Rip Van Winkle is my guilty anime crush.
Oh yeah,
I like Rip Van Winkle a lot. I'm like, this is a great character. It's a shame she dies so fast, but like,
she dies in a super gross way.
So gross and terrible. But I felt really, really bad for her.
That's a good part of that manga.
Yeah,
I like that.
But it's like, it's remarkable. It's like, oh, this is a great character, and she's gone.
Yeah, well, it's not a very long story. Okay, Yokaka Shimike asks, any of you guys playing No Man's Sky? Boy, I have been torturing myself.
Waiting,
well, the PC version's coming out. I guess I'll wait for that one, but I could just get the PS4 one. But maybe it's not fun. Maybe I'm going to buy that and play it for like a minute and say, like, this is boring and not play it. Like, I'm so on the edge. I wish I could just rent it, but I will probably just buy the PC version when it comes out tomorrow and satiate my insatiable curiosity. I'm excited to give it a shot. Okay, Autograph Sneaker asks, is it safe to assume that Hulu dropping free streaming was the reason behind the great Hulu anime purge? No. Every place is, as Justin has actually explained in Answer Man and elsewhere, every place is paring back. There was a content bubble, and Hulu is, you know, all of these places are doing the same thing every network in history has done, which is realize, hey, if we produce our homegrown content, makes us more money and is more valuable to us than shit we have to license. Anime is easy to say no to. You're not damaging a partnership with NBC or whoever if you say no to anime.
Right.
So, like Justin explained this, that's pretty much how it goes. Hulu dropping free streaming is something that I think was a long time coming.
Yeah.
I've been using, and as someone in the chat points out, Justin says, largely it's because no one was watching most of it. Yes, that as well.
Yeah.
But that stuff is easy to get rid of. When you're truncating and saying, okay, we're getting rid of the stuff that fewer people watch, and also we don't own, because Hulu original programming does not have particularly spectacular viewership either. So it's not all just a ratings game. the next couple of years will be really interesting for streaming media. We'll see what happens. That was definitely a content bubble. Okay, so that's the end of our Twitter questions. We got time for a couple of one or two questions from the chat. If y'all have one for us. You have a question for the Downer twins today? Two people who hate everything?
I think we're being kind of positive. We just...
I'm just giving us a hard time. Somebody asked about the third season of BoJack Horseman. No, and every time somebody reminds me that it exists, I get excited and I'm like, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch it. Yeah, I'm going to start watching that in the gym, I think. Because I was rewatching season 2 of Rick and Morty, which has a lot of really good episodes. And so I think now I'm going to move on to BoJack.
See, I could be positive. We just brought up BoJack Horseman and Stranger Things. I could have been positive because I like BoJack Horseman. I watched some of the third season. It's really great already. And I watched the first episode of Stranger Things, and I really enjoyed that too. So those are two things that I'm quite enjoying a lot.
Oh, and I took a look at the Blu-ray of Char's Counterattack, and that is a interesting film that I like.
Yeah,
I like Char's Counterattack.
I've never seen it though.
Your Gundam...
Well, no, my Gundam knowledge is embarrassing. Like, that's my biggest anime hole, is I don't know shit about Gundam, so, you know.
Yeah. Spirit of Mike asks, have either of you kept up with Love Live Sunshine? I have only seen the first episode, but I will take this moment to promote the interview that is on ANN's front page right now with six ladies of Aquas. Aquars?
Aqua.
Aquars.
Aqua. Aqua.
Aqua.
Aqua.
Aqua, like Aqua.
Yeah.
Baby, I am missing you. You know, Aqua.
yes,
right?
Like that.
Yeah. Yes. Six of the nine members
Aqua.
On the front page. I have been watching Love, Life, Sunshine and have been chronicling the not as much enthusiasm for this one.
So this is interesting. So I think with Love, Life, Sunshine, there is a... So they're projecting the sales... Mind you, they're comparing this to Love Live, which is, like, one of the highest-selling anime ever. But the sales projections for Love Live Sunshine are already, like, tugging at collar nervous for Sunrise because... I don't know. But who knows what's causing that? But if I had to speculate, I would say that Love Live Sunshine is trying to really hard to be like, hey, remember this? Hey, remember what you liked about the previous show? And instead of really developing its characters much, all of its characters are more gimmicky, like they mug more. Like, the Love Live girls, like the first season girls were more, some of them were wacky, but they weren't all wacky all the time, and they kind of had, like, they felt grounded, they felt kind of like, that was the nicest thing about the show to me when I watched it back in 2013, 2014. I was like, oh, these feel kind of like real high school girls, kind of. That's nice. Sunshines, they all feel like they are selling you something. They're really wacky. They mug a lot. And their personalities are very big and loud. Like, even Ruby,
the
shy one.
I thought
she's, like, boldly shy. Like, she's like, I'm so shy.
I'm so shy.
It's like, wow.
I thought the Chuny girl made me laugh in the first episode.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it is more funny, but...
Like, it's still funny and charming.
Oh, yeah. I should clarify. It's not like this is a big difference. Tonally, it's about the same show. But there is, like, it feels more artificial, it just does, like, it's not, when you make the characters bigger and muggier and louder, that doesn't hurt the humor, certainly that's not the part that's suffered, it just doesn't feel very sincere, so five episodes in, they suddenly popped up, they repeated the, oh no, our school's gonna be closed down plot from the first series, and people were like, what, are they really, like, repeating that, like, huh? How do you repeat that plot and so transparently? And the characters call it out, and they're like, "Hey, we're just like Muse. Our school is going to be closed down. Let's use our idol group to save the school." And it's like, "What? Really? Like, so it's a little bit too like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Please like us." And I think it's off-putting. It's not like a big difference, but it's noticeable. It's not very subtle, you know, like it's kind of obvious. So.
Yes, yeah, you cool. can't, like, that's the thing with those shows, like, the first Love Live was almost like a grassroots hit, which is such a weird thing to say, but it's true, like, that's kind of what it was.
Like, I'm sure they wanted it to succeed, but I don't think they were expecting what it became at all,
No, nobody was.
No.
Nobody was. Well, it's still going. Maybe it'll wrap up well. Maybe it'll get more comfortable in its skin. They're probably going to run these ladies for, what, 2 seasons or so? So maybe it'll get more comfortable in its skin.
Yeah, and there's definitely room to grow, and it's not a bad show or anything, not even a little bit. It's just trying too hard. It's trying too hard and being like, you like the first show, right? Do you like this one? Like, it seems very insecure, so it's hard to describe unless you're, like, a fan and watching it, and then you can go, yeah, I see this is on shaky legs, you know.
Somebody said, Matt asks, would you use Suicide Squad as an example of, like, how to not edit an action film? And, like, I wouldn't. I would use it as an example, like, here's what you shouldn't notice the editing. You really shouldn't. You shouldn't notice it. You might notice, like, wow, this is really well edited if you, like, really love to pay attention to film editing. But you really won't notice it. And so, like, Suicide Squad's editing is super noticeable.
Yeah.
And so you would just show it as, like, oh, apologies. That question was asked by Crystal Bowie. Here's an on-air correction. The rare on-air correction. Yeah. This is why we love having a live audience, because you guys keep us honest. Here's how, like, take a note of what this is doing. This is how you make editing noticeable. Noticeable. Someone with an anonymous name asks, what's a recent superhero movie that you liked? Well, Civil War, I enjoyed. It was very entertaining. I did not hate Suicide Squad. Deadpool, I really liked a lot. Like, way more than I thought I would. Like, Deadpool was, like, the most entertaining superhero movie I've seen in the last, like, what, 3-4 years? Something like that? Like, it was really entertaining.
I liked Ant-Man. I thought that
Ant-Man was really good,
and
too.
And Ant-Man was also, like, a tortured production, but they pulled it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't seem like, let's just serve up this, you know, struggling creation at the last second. It felt like, all right, this has been through some shit, but we pulled it out and it still works, basically, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything up to, like, the last, like, the second Avengers movie, like, Thor 2 is kind of lame and boring, but I really loved the first Thor. Like, I like plenty of those movies. At this point, I think I like more of the Marvel films than I'm lukewarm on. Like, I actively like more of them than I am lukewarm on.
Yeah.
I would still give it a higher like-to-dislike ratio.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's, you know, that's fine with me.
I'm like halvesies, I guess. I definitely like the older ones more than the newer ones because the, the style, style homogeny is getting a little bit tiresome with the newer ones, whereas the older ones, like, were more unique, but that's...
Yeah, you know. Right. Well, we'll see. The sameness is getting there, but, I mean, you know, people will get tired of these, and we'll start getting... You know, they'll mix it up at some point. Lost Thief asks, have either of you seen Belladonna of Sadness? I have the Blu-ray coming. I have not seen it since a VHS in college.
Wow.
And when I saw it in college, I was drunk as hell. So... I'm looking forward to revisiting it. Big time. Let's see here. Last question from Groovin. Have you checked out Umineko yet, or any time for it? I have no time.
Nope.
Yeah, no time. That's not a good question to end on. Let's get one more question to... we'll take two more. Have the increasing number of positive reviews pushed you to watch Sausage Party? Yes, they have. I am going to go see Sausage Party. Yep.
I'll go do that. I'll go see it.
You will?
Yeah.
We'll go see it after this podcast. We'll go see it tonight.
Okay.
We'll go see it tonight.
Okay.
Fenua asks, thoughts on the Western live-action adaptation of Tiger and Bunny? What a great property to adapt.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, oh, you picked a good one this time. Instead of, like, let's make Dragon Ball Z and do a Hollywood film. Don't do that. Like, it's like Speed Racer. Stop it.
You could.
Yeah, like, Tiger and Bunny is a good choice. Death Note was also a good choice. Like, I'm excited about these choices. Ghost in the Shell, a good choice. Please continue to make good choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making... We'll find out if they make good choices on Ghost in the Shell.
On the actual... Well, yeah, but I mean, just choosing to adapt.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Right, okay. You know? Yeah, I feel you.
Is there another one? What's the one I'm forgetting that was optioned?
There was another one. Sword Art Online, which is a live-action TV show.
Yeah, which is, like, that's just going to be a whole nother... They're going to keep the premise and not much else, I think.
No, you'll have a girl in a cage getting her tears drank by
Yeah, they're going to change that.
Someone will be chained up, and then there will be a bad guy, like, cackling and licking tears off of her face in a live-action American TV show. It'll happen.
Right. So, straight up, so if I can make a guess at what they're going to do with Sword Art Online, straight up, they're going to keep the premise, they're going to keep Kirito and Asuna's love story, and they are not going to abort, like, they're not, so Sword Art Online gets out of the main game of the original game in 12 episodes, because that was the first book, or first couple books, or whatever. They're gonna, like, spend seasons in the one game. They're not gonna, like, and now a different game. They're gonna, like, they're gonna production design the shit out of one MMO, and they're not gonna, like, try to production design different MMO.
Yeah, no
they're
way.
Gonna stay in
Oh
there.
My god, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, they're gonna stay in there.
Having to come up with the other one. Ugh.
They're gonna get seasons after seasons in that game. There's not gonna be Fairy Dance, there's not gonna be Gun Gale, they're gonna be in Sword Art Online, and they're gonna have a greater cast of characters than just, like, the two and a harem. It's not gonna be a weird harem. There's gonna be more men and stuff, so, you know.
And also a lady chained up with her tears being sort out on. You know, although when I say that out loud, it's like, oh, can you believe that, like, that would happen in Game of Thrones, and no one would bat a fucking eye. So I have no, I should not be criticizing Sword Art Online.
That it happened in Sword Art Online. It was that it was so.
That's just the thing you can pull out to make fun of Sword Art Online.
Yeah, well, that it was so pedestrian, that it was so, like, paint by numbers, and then my girlfriend waited in the cage for me, and the dialogue is so, like, 14-year-old boy write this, you know. So
yeah,
Game of Thrones is dressed up in fancy dialogue. When horrible stuff happens, it's in fancy, like, dialogue. Sword Art Online is you know. I found somebody's middle school novel.
Aww. You know, this is the hater cast. You're talking to two haters.
I don't think I'm being a hater.
Two haters. Dos haters.
I really like Stranger Things. You should watch it. I liked BoJack Horseman. You should watch it.
Did you watch more Stranger Things? Because watched the pilot.
I just saw the first episode, but I was like, oh, they perfectly captured the style of, like, three different genres of 80s movies.
It was good, man. Yeah. I liked it.
And, like, so
we should watch more.
Yeah, the plot hasn't really gotten going as of the first episode, but and maybe it'll shit the bed. I don't know. But as a style exercise, if you love 80s movies, which I do, yeah, absolutely.
I want Stranger Things, but for 80s anime. That would be so fucking good. Like, they're making so much anime right now.
Yeah.
Why can't we get tone exercises, like genre, like aesthetic exercises like that,
right,
where it's a pastiche of 80s OVAs, but that is deliberately pulling from all of that stuff.
That would be really interesting.
I'm gonna the next time we go to an anime convention, I'm gonna pitch this and beg every director and studio owner that I talk to, like, hey, what about? And he could do it for the 90s, too. Yeah. And both of those would be huge. Like, I bet people would like that.
Yeah, one of the dandies in Space Dandy was, like, a Space Adventure Cobra.
Yeah, right, but do, like, a show that, like Stranger Things, like, pulls in everything.
Right.
That'd be really cool. Well, now I'm going to be sad that doesn't exist. All right, hey, we should get going, because the sausage party is going to start without us. Holy shit. All right. Hey, guys. Thanks for hanging out. This was a fun live show. Sorry for all the hating. We'll be back next week. Thanks, guys. Thanks,
we'll
Jacob.
Take less of the hater aid, we promise.
All right. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Jacob for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.